buckram that I told thee of.
So, two more already?
Their points being broken...
Down fell their hose.
...began to give me ground, but I followed me close, came in foot in hand, and with a thought, 7 of the 11 I paid.
Ah, monstrous! 11 buckram men grown out of 2!
But, as the devil would have it, 3 misbegotten knaves in Kendall Green came at my back and let drive at me, for it was so dark, Hal, thou couldst not see thy hand.
These lies are like the father that begets them, gross as a mountain, open... palpable. Why, thou clay-brained guts, thou knotty-pated fool, thou whore's son, obscene, grease, tallow-cap.
What? Art thou mad? Art thou mad? Is not the truth the truth?
Why, how couldst thou know these men in Kendall Green when it was so dark thou couldst not see thy hand? Come, tell us your reason. What sayest thou to this?
Come, your reason, Jack, your reason.
What? Upon compulsion? Zounds, and I were the strapado of all the racks in the world. I would not tell you upon compulsion. Give you a reason on compulsion? If reasons were as plentiful as blackberries, I would give no man a reason upon compulsion, I.
Thank you. Steepen, the world's thinnest bolster. Now, are there structures in that writing that are still useful to you today?
Yes. I mean, comic? The reason why I chose that bit is essentially that is a comic routine. It's part of a play, but that is a little routine in itself. The exaggerating of the numbers and the constant building of it is a comedy routine, which I'm sure was old when Shakespeare wrote it. I mean, this is clearly not his original joke. He's just done a really, really good version of it, and he's worked it into a play. And I think that's often the case. I can now see, as I couldn't see at school, where it just looks like great, dense chunks of text, that very often, I mean, in Twelfth Night, for example, he carefully builds up the premise for a scene, and then the scene plays almost like a sketch. You know, here's a sketch in which someone is dressed as a boy who's a girl and therefore can't reveal that she fancies the person she's talking to because she's supposed to be a man. It's a sketch. And then you have, you know, here is a man who thinks this letter has come from a woman who he's in love with, but actually it hasn't. And he's going to read it out loud, amuse about it, and we're going to watch him and he doesn't know. It's a sketch. You know, it's a comic premise within a play. And the great thing about this is that you don't only get this initial routine of the constant numbers going up and up and up. But you then get, because he's Shakespeare, he then gets to this point where, when it was so dark, thou couldst not see thy hand. Tell us your reason, what say you to this? Your reason, Jack, your reason. And then the laugh there is for the pause. It's not for the words, it's for the pause. And that's because Shakespeare was an actor. And everything he writes is full of this sense of how things play in performance. It's not just the words. And then brilliantly, of course, at the end there, he turns the routine round by giving this character who has just lied, has just given you this massive series of obvious lies. He's caught out lying, and then he gets himself out of it by actually claiming the moral high ground and saying, well, I don't give people reasons upon compulsion. This is like torture. You know, this is like being on the rack.
Natalie, so, there's a joke in The Frocks about how corny comic porter scenes are,
yes.
Isn't there? Which is, of course, an idea that we're totally familiar with from Shakespeare. So even a joke that was considered corny, a routine that was considered old-fashioned 2,000 years ago, is still alive and well in Elizabethan England.
Absolutely. I think Shakespeare gets much of his comedy inspiration from Plautus, who I hate above almost all writers, having been made to translate him as a sixth former, and he is both rubbish and difficult, two things I don't like. And so loads and loads of those, where you get a long run of people, you get this in A Servant of Two Masters, One Man, Two Governors as well, a long run of somebody explaining something, and the first letter is the same, so somebody's got a whole array of medical conditions, and they all begin with a B or an H or something, that's straight from Plautus, and it's just as annoying there.
In the time we have left, could we take a brief look at more recent work? I mean, are there writers of fiction who have lived more recently who you think stand a chance of surviving the test of time in the way that these pieces have, Steve?
Well, if by recent you mean 20th century,
yeah.
One of the first sort of real out and out comic writers that I was introduced to when I was about 12 was P.G. Wodehouse, who I think as long as English is spoken as a language, I suspect people will read Wodehouse just for the sheer joy of sort of diving in to those words. I mean, my dad gave me this book, not of Jeeves, because that world, you know, is slightly hard if you're 12. He gave me a book of the golf stories called The Clicking of Cuthbert, which is obviously a little bit more accessible. And I was immediately sort of raptured by this extraordinary language where he describes following a foursome of old men on a golf course is following a group of spavined octogenarians rolling peanuts with a toothpick. And and he talks about, there's a wonderful short story in which a Russian novelist called Vladimir Brusilov comes to talk to a book group, basically a 1920s version of the book group. And he describes his books as Vladimir specialised in grey studies of hopeless misery, which I love, and I think that's a very British thing. Is that if you were to ask most people who are the greatest writers in English literature, they would probably say Chaucer, Shakespeare, Jane Austen, Dickens. All of them are comic writers. All of them are people who see those two sides of human life.
Natalie, who would you nominate?
I would have to go for her. I guess Dorothy Parker, since I have started being a critic sometimes myself, anyone who could dismiss her performance with the words, she ran the gamut of emotions from A to B, will do. And of course, Fran Lebowitz, who is an amazing writer, hasn't written properly for a long time, but is responsible for one of my favourite jokes of the 20th century when describing herself. Isn't that always the way? Always the godmother, never the god. Yeah.
That's all we have time for, but you were a lovely audience, much better than last week. And to prove it, I'd like you to thank our guests for Radio 3's first ever Comedy Prom Night, Steve Punt and Natalie Haynes.
Matthew Sweet presented this evening's Proms Plus Literary event, and the producer was Dimpfner Flynn. Welcome back to the Royal Albert Hall with me, Louise Fryer. I'm very lucky to have got a seat at this sell-out event, the BBC Comedy Prom. Onstage host Tim Minchin and his guests will be rejoining the BBC Concert Orchestra shortly for the final set. And the first big number is Reisenstein's Concerto Popolare. It's Reisenstein's centenary this year. The 7th of June would have been his 100th birthday. And young British pianist Danny Driver will be the soloist in the Concerto Popolare, making his proms debut. Quite a way to greet the prommers for the first time. He's a very brave young man. He'll be providing his vocal talents too, as will Sue Perkins and Susan Bullock and Kitten the Widow. And there'll be a chance for more audience participation in one of Flanders and Swann's best love ditties about love springing up between two of the more ungainly creatures to have ever wallowed in the waters of the cool Shalimar. And Beardy Man will be asking for the prommers' help too. He's known as a beatbox virtuoso and will be dazzling our ears with his vocal percussion, to which he somehow manages to add a melody simultaneously. Really quite astonishing to witness. Conductor Andrew Litton will be taking to the podium shortly. At the moment, MD Jules Buckley is standing in front of the BBC Concert Orchestra, ready for part two of this comedy prom.
This is a prom, that we should open the second act with an actual proper classical
piece, and I was incredibly excited to learn that two amazing musicians had been booked to do the gig. The pianist, the incredible pianist Danny Driver, and the conductor Andrew Litton are both world-renowned artists working at the very top of their field. It says in my notes that Danny was to play Grieg's famous piano concerto in A minor, but I met the conductor Andrew in the loo just during interval, and he was wildly waving his baton about and exclaiming that he was definitely conducting the Tchaikovsky. But either way, please welcome Danny Driver and Andrew Litton.
Thank you.
Leader Cynthia Fleming taking over as Andrew Lytton stormed off in
Johnny
a huff.
Driver and Andrew Lytton with the famous Concerto Populaire by Franz Reisenstein.
Back to Tim Minchin
Johnny
on stage.
Driver! Andrew Lytton!
Andrew Lytton and Danny Driver seem to have made up, taking about the end there.
Yeah. Mate, this is probably not a brilliant idea, getting an actual musician to do an actual piece of music, because I've got to admit to feeling quite insecure now. A little bit defensive, a little bit threatened. And so I think I'm going to do what I've always done in my life, and it's served me well, I think, thus far. What I always do when I feel threatened is do something stupid.
I got a box full of stupid people just to support me.
This is a piece I wrote a long time ago. By piece, I mean a stupid thing. By a long time ago. What's this? What is that? Is that Danny's? What is wrong with you? Why does he get his sweat up? He needs to play more. Complete pussy. What's this? All right.
Plinky plonky. Oh, lovely. Look at me. Oh, what's this?
It's a surrender of your life to practice. I've been having a little problem recently, which is quite disturbing musicalically, involving a semitonal discrepancy vocally and instrumentally. You see, musicians of different varieties prefer playing in particular keys, and singers too treat preferentially those notes they tackle more proficiently. Now, you don't have to be a member of Mensa to understand the depth of my dilemma. The two elements of me favor two different keys, thus the rift betwixt my fingers and my tenor. I like nothing more than playing instruments in F. It warms the very cockles of my heart. The trouble is that F could leave me vocally bereft. You see, I like playing in F major. Singing in F sharp, F sharp, F sharp. I refuse to be beholden to my hands. I don't see why my larynx should give in to their demands. I'll not be forced to compromise my art, and so I'll just keep playing in F major and singing in F sharp, F sharp, F sharp. I'll keep playing in F major, but I'll keep singing in F sharp.
You've got to use what skills you've got. Please welcome back to the stage the marvellous Kitten the Widow, Sue Perkins, and the finest Wagnerian soprano of her generation, Miss Susan Bullock.
Adorable. We were very, very impressed by your community singing. We were at the end of Act One, yeah. So we thought we'd do it again.
Sue particularly wants to make sure they're absolutely right for the last night, don't
absolutely.
You?
Yes. Absolutely, you have to be bang on top of it.
Yep, so you have to learn, she learns to ride you like a wave. Now, we are going into falsetto. We are going into falsetto in this number. Do whatever is necessary. Adjust, get your friends, because we are to go up. But on this comedy prom program, we couldn't possibly not have the greatest comedy song ever.
The most famous ever.
By Flanders and Swan. No. You know exactly what is coming.
Do you know this one, Sue?
I can't sing.
No. Well,
of course you can sing.
Can you look like a hippopotamus then?
Yes.
Right. Can I sing with you? Could we sing together?
Yes.
That would be nice. It'd be very encouraging for me.
It'd be a very beautiful moment.
Are you already down
there? We're already, yes. We're all
are you ready, Maestro Jules?
Yes.
Let's have this hippopotamus song.
Ooh.
standing one day on the banks of the cool Shalimar. He gazed at the bottom as it peacefully lay by the light of the evening star.
Away on the hilltop sat combing her hair his hippopotamus mind made.
The hippopotamus was no ignoramus and sang her this sweet serenade.
Mud! Mud! Glorious mud! Nothing quite like it for cooling the blood. So follow me, follow, down to the hole, and let us go in glorious mud.
What a chest!
This fair hippopotamus he aimed to entice from her seat on that hilltop above.
As she hadn't got a ma to give her advice, she came tiptoeing down to her love.
Like thunder the forest re-echoed the sound of the song that they sang as they met.
His inamorata adjusted her garter and lifted her voice in duet.
Falsetto!
Mud, mud, glorious mud. Nothing quite like it for cooling the blood. So follow me, follow, don't go alone, and let us go in glorious
mud. Clara Butt. Now more hippopotami began to convene on the banks of that river so wide. I wonder now what am I to say of the scene that ensued on the Shalimar side.
They dived all at once with an ear-splitting splosh. Then rose to the surface again.
A regular army of hippopotami, all singing this haunting refrain.
Until they are mud, mud, glorious mud.
Nothing quite like it for cooling the blood. So
on his face, and hey. Dimp Minchin. Dimp, you were very good. You were very convincing. I believed in your singing. Is
Do
there
you?
Is there nothing you cannot do?
There is no what? Beginning to my talent, is there for really, sure. Is there,
I mean, you can sing.
You've been done conducting.
You've done conducting.
Bit. You did hippopotamus dancing.
You did hippo bit. Dancing.
It's just in yeah. the ankles. If anyone wants to repeat this at home, yeah. it's just in the ankles.
Can you prestidigitate?
I beg your
is
pardon.
Is that legal?
Don't say anything to legal in front of this lot.
Don't you play?
A bit.
I know it's not your usual instrument. This is a Steinway. Yeah. Sue normally plays an IKEA.
Yeah. yeah.
do you want to come and do a duet?
Why not?
Oh, why? This would be really fantastic, fun, wouldn't it?
I yeah. Think oh, yes.
For safety's sake. Come on, Diva.
Let's do this.
It's not safe anymore.
A lovely piece with the band. It's called Dizzy Fingers by Zez Comfrey.
Dizzy Fingers. I made it. I hit the note. I hit a bottom A. I like hitting bottoms. Most musicians spend years and years training their fingers to do more and more intricate tasks. The next guest spent years and years sitting in his bedroom with a microphone, figuring out how to make stupid noises, which when put together would make the rest of us look pretty boring. He is an oral wizard, a labial legend, a lingual freak. Please put your hands together for my friend, the not very bearded, Beardy Man.
Ladies and gentlemen. We're too kind, we're too kind, we're too kind. Ladies and gentlemen, there is an issue which I wish to address with you all today, and it concerns the canon. By the canon, of course, I don't mean... although that wouldn't be out of place with the problems, but, of course, the canon I'm referring to is the musical canon, that of the entire body of music which we take to be the heredity of our nation. So, with your permission, ladies and gentlemen, I shall now do a certain thing which I've I wrote, and it goes a little something like this. Check my lyrics. You see, ladies and gentlemen, all the rock and classical and even the romantic composers oft were prone to dip their quill and then to frantically scribble every detail of their musical ideas on the manuscript before them, spurred in part by fears of being executed by their patron, usually a person with an empire and an army and some horrible perversion, needing music solely for their party or their sermon. Thus composers rarely chose to make experimental versions, which is shocking, really. But you know, it all really comes down to the simple fact that their benefactor always backed the dictum of the church, which said that certain chords were evil and all tunes should be inert, and pomp and ceremony went with any brief they were proffered, and many pen paeans to piety and odes to the absurd. But as you see, advances in technology have made it so that any sound conceivable may be facilitated almost instantly, where in the past composers would have waited for a lifetime to see a new instrument created. Yes, but you see, my lords and ladies and those from the wider gene pool, I must stop this wretched song as it is whack and that means feeble in a language you will never speak because you're all posh people. And if you ask me, I'll tell you that Pachelbel is evil, cause this song is so monotonous and boring and urbane, and it goes on and on and round and round and round and round again, so maddeningly cyclical and sickeningly plain, spiraling into infinity, a black hole in my brain. I do apologise if you were actually enjoying that, ladies and gentlemen. But I wasn't. It was doing my nut. All right, tell you what, here's a little something for you. How about a little bit of this, right? Match, really, isn't it? It's the Proms! You can't do that in the Proms! No! Cool! Saints preserve us! Grill me cockles or whatever it is, I don't know. Right, right, here we go. I think this will be a bit more appropriate for the environment. Here it goes. Oh, somebody give me a concert A, please. No. Yes. Brrrr.
What I'm saying to you is like, all I want to do right now is tell you all that I don't know how. All I'm doing this in my mind. Yes, if you look closer, you will find I didn't write any of this. It's coming off the top of my head, this, and that's why the next line won't rhyme at all. Cause I... oh, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, I wanna tell you that it's been nice playing for you. Say goodbye, and it's the stop, 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 stop.
Language of prejudice and the power of the language of
prejudice.
It's called prejudice,
prejudice,
prejudice, prejudice, prejudice.
In our modern free-spoken society, there is a word that we still hold taboo,
taboo, taboo.
A word with a terrible history of being used to abuse, oppress and subdue,
subdue.
Just six seemingly harmless letters arranged in a way that will form a word with more power than the pieces of metal that are forged to make swords.
Swords.
Swords. Couple of G's, an R and an E, an I and an N. The six little letters all jumbled together have caused damage that we may never mend. And it's important that we all respect that if these people should happen to choose to reclaim the word as their own, it doesn't mean the rest of you have a right to its use. So never underestimate the power that language imparts. Sticks and stones may break your bones, but words can break hearts. Geez, unless you've had to live it, even I am careful with it. An I and in the end it will alone be a vent. Don't want to have to spell it out again. Yeah, yeah. Only a ginger can call another ginger ginger. Only a ginger can call another ginger ginger. So listen to me, if you care for your health, you won't call me ginger unless you ginger yourself. Only a ginger can call another ginger ginger. When you are a ginger, life is pretty hard. Here's a ritual bullying in the schoolyard. Kids calling you ranger and Fanta pants. No invitation to the high school dance. But you get up and learn to hold your head up. You try to keep you cool and not get fed up. But until the feeling of illness truly let up, then the word is as and as alone. Don't you know that only a ginger can call another ginger ginger? Come on, let me hear you say. Only a ginger can call another ginger. Yeah, yeah. So if you call us ginger, we just might come unhinged. If you don't have a fringe with at least a tinge of the ginger in it. Only a ginger can call another ginger ginger. Now listen to me, we're not looking for sympathy, just because we're sensitive to UV. Just cause we're pathetically pale, we do alright with the females. Yeah, I like to ask the ladies round for ginger beer, and soon they're running their fingers through my ginger beard, and dunking my ginger nuts into their ginger tea, yeah, and asking can they call me ginger, and I say I don't think that's appropriate. Cause only a ginger can call another ginger ginger. Sing Albert Hall! Only a ginger. And all the ladies, they agree it's a fact. Once you're gone, ginger can't go back. Only a ginger can call another ginger ginger. Yeah, go you funky mother! You can call us bozo or fire truck, fire truck, fire truck. You can even call us carrot top or blood nut, blood nut, blood nut, blood. Yeah, you can call us matchstick or tampon, tampon, tampon. But playing with the G word is just not us. If you're a ginger boy and you don't like us, we will stand up to the fight if you want to fight us. But if you cut yourself, you might catch gingivitis. So maybe you should shut your funky mouth. Only a ginger can call another ginger ginger. Sing! Wow! Only a ginger can call another. So if you call us ginger, you can't whinge. If you're injured, if you don't have a tinge of the ginger in your minge. Only a ginger can call another ginger ginger. And you know my kids will always be clothed and fed, cause Papa's gonna be bringing home the gingerbread. And they'll be pretty smart because they'll be well read. And by red I mean red and the other kind of red. Woo! Only a ginger can call another ginger ginger. Sing! Hey, only a ginger can call another ginger ginger. Just like only a ninja can sneak up on another ninja. Only a ninja, only a ninja, only a ninja, yeah. I use a ninja, I'm not pointing the finger, I'm just having a singer, I am just reminding ya. That only a ginger can call another ginger. Ginger.
Friends, is that
thought about what I'd say here. Yeah, go nuts. Go nuts! That's Ben on the cello. It's beautiful. Oh, it's gorgeous. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Too. If you do, I will sell you drugs, then kill you.
Yeah! Sue Perkins!
Nos! Nos!
BBC Three's The Mongrels! The boy with tape on his face!
Thank you.
Barclay. Thank you, BBC Concert Orchestra, and please thank all the guests tonight. Sue Perkins, Susan Bullock, Kit the Widow, Danny Driver, Beardy Man, Andrew Linton, the boy with tape on his face, and Doc Brown. Thank you for coming.
And that was Tim Minchin living out his critic's nightmare of a member of the royal family playing the Doctor Who theme on a guitar, wearing a Prince Charles look-alike mask and standing on the piano stool for that final solo. A guitar for the uninitiated, a curious hybrid, a guitar that you play using piano keys rather than that strumming the strings. Well, all the comedians and musicians lined up across the front of the stage, and Jules Buckley encouraging the concert orchestra to stand, and everybody's applauding everybody else. Giving a wave as they leave the platform. All sorts of highlights, too many to mention, although I have to say, one of my favorites was seeing the boy with tape on his face playing the timpani during the mud song, the hippopotamus song, only in fact having no timpani at all because he's miming. Jules Buckley is now conducting the audience in their cheers as he indicates the BBC Concert Orchestra with their leader, Cynthia Fleming, taking a greater role than often she has to, stepping in from time to time to conduct, to play the piano, to redirect the soloist's fingers when Danny Driver was playing the Concerto Popolare. And here comes Tim Minchin back onto the stage and the other performers with him. And greeting Cynthia Fleming with a kiss. He was about to sit back down at the piano, but yes, I think we're going to have a little more.
So I basically saw this concert as an opportunity to force incredible musicians to do what I wanted them to do. And this is probably the most self-indulgent of these forcings. Jules Buckley, he's my private conductor.
There's a force that stops the chaos flooding in. This is my earth, and it's fine. It's where I spend the vast majority of my time. It's not perfect, but it's mine. It's not perfect. This is my house, and I live in it. It's made of cracks and photographs. We bought it from a guy who bought it from a guy who bought it from a guy whose granddad left it to him. Weirdest thing is that this house has locks to keep the baddies out, but they're mostly used to lock ourselves in. This is my house.
majority of my time. It's not perfect, but it's mine. It's not perfect, but it's mine. This is my body. It's 35 and 10 months old. It's changed a lot since it was new. It's done stuff it wasn't built to do. I often try to fill it up with wine. And the weirdest thing about it is I spend so much time hating it, but it never says a bad word about me. This is my body, and it's fine. It's where I spend the vast majority of my time. It's not perfect, but it's mine. It's not perfect. This is my brain, and I live in it. It's made of love and bad song lyrics. It's tucked away behind my eyes, where all my screwed up thoughts can hide. 'Cause God forbid I hurt somebody. And the weirdest thing about a mind is that every answer that you find is the basis of a brand new cliche. This is my brain. It's fine. It's where I spend the vast majority of my time. It's not perfect, but it's mine. It's not perfect, but it's
perfect. That touching final number rounding off this night of laughs from the Royal Albert Hall. The first ever comedy prom, and with a reception like this, I'm sure it won't be the last. Doc Brown and the boy with tape on his face coming out to join the Heavenly Choir, who were accompanying the Australian Tim Minchin at the piano. The chorus consisting of Sue Perkins, Susan Bullock, Danny Driver, Kit and the Widow, and Beardy Man. And if you feel you missed any of the visual humour, it's on BBC Two, I think, on the 27th of August. So do look out for it. More details, of course, on the Proms website, bbc.co.uk/proms. And tomorrow evening promises to be a touch more sober, with a choral prom recreating an all-Britain concert conducted by Britain himself in 1963. Jiří Bělohlávek will be at the helm of the BBC Symphony Orchestra, with the massed voices of the BBC Singers, the BBC Symphony Chorus and Trinity Boys Choir. Soloists include Amanda Rucroft, Christine Wright, John Mark Ainsley and Christopher Maltman. That's in Britain's Cantata Misericordium, the Sinfonia de Requiem, and also his Spring Symphony. And the evening begins with a new arrangement by Joby Talbot of Purcell's Chaconne. That's tomorrow night at 7, live on Radio 3. But with the BBC Concert Orchestra standing at the end of this BBC Comedy Prom, and everybody, in fact, in the hall on their feet to give a standing ovation, the performers are returning to the stage one more time. Here comes Tim Minchin. And with those cheers for him, I'll hand you on for the rest of this evening's listening to Jill Anderson of Broadcasting House.
Well, thank you very much. That was Louise Fryer at the Royal Albert Hall. And if you'd like to hear that comedy prom again, you can do that by going to the Radio 3 website. Well, coming up at 10:30 here and now, Sarah Moore-Peach presents music inspired by Buddhism and Eastern philosophy, performed by Chroma, music by Rolf Hind, Param Veer and Jonathan Harvey. This evening's edition of The Wire is another chance to hear a fictional drama inspired by the traumatic events at the Admiral Duncan pub in London in 1999. Developed from an award-winning play staged at the Brighton Theatre, the drama is a study of prejudice and extremism, including racism and homophobia, and contains strong language. The playwright, Jonathan Cash, introduces The First Domino.
On Friday the 30th of April 1999, I was standing in a pub in Soho called the Admiral Duncan, and a nail bomb exploded about 6 feet away from me. The First Domino is based on my experience of surviving the Admiral Duncan, but it's about a fictional terrorist and a fictional psychiatrist. Having gone through something like that, you think very differently about everything, and I realised that everybody has a part to play, in a way. I think The First Domino is about misconceptions and looking at the ways that people accept intolerance. We misconceive people all the time, everybody does. And in the play, I realised that the terrorist has misconceptions about minority groups, and the doctor has misconceptions about the terrorist, and we have misconceptions about everybody. What do we expect a terrorist to be like? What would it be like if a terrorist was actually quite charming or vulnerable? Whenever anybody derides somebody else with hurtful words, they create a landscape in which it's acceptable to hate.
Your Auntie Sandra sends her love. I said, didn't I? She came out before she went in again. She collapsed during the accumulator. I don't go. I'm coming backwards and forwards from here. 800 miles a month I'll be doing. Are you all right? Andrew.
What?
Your face looks different.
What are you on about?
What are they giving you?
Same as before.
You need to eat more. I was going to bring you some more damson, but I don't think you like that one. Your eyes gave it away.
Sociopathy and Offender Management. Chapter 1. Dynamics and Influences.
Your father's grown some apricots.
How's he?
I think he's got an allotment. I know he applied. He said he wanted to be nurturing.
Nurturing?
I think they're apricots. I just make jam out of them.
What's this one like, then?
I don't know. I haven't had any. Do you want some, then? I brought it with me. In plastic containers, like the man said. Well, don't bite me hand off. Some for your new friend and all.
Thanks, he'll be thrilled.
What's his name again? A GP, you said?
Martin.
Oh. Well, give some to him, then. Is he, is he all right?
Yeah. Quietly spoken.
Well, he's a GP. They're trained. You will rinse them out, won't you, so I can have them back? What's he in for?
had a fight with his wife.
I don't like violent men.
You could be really hurtful sometimes.
Do you want your dad's magazines bringing? Might take your mind off.
Very kind. But I don't really see the point of reading 12 separate editions of How to Build a Ship in a Bottle, on accounts of how he's taken all the bits that comes with How to Build a Ship in a Bottle, built the entire ship, constructed the actual bottle, and rendered the plastic frames it all snapped out of, and the very magazine itself entirely redundant.
I wish you wouldn't talk like that. There's no need. Do you want this jam or not?
He's here, transferred from Langton.
And?
With your permission, Dr. Briley, I'd like to interview him in support of my paper.
Remind me, title?
Sociopathy and Offender Management. I'm due to speak in Stockholm in the new year.
Don't develop the syndrome.
Sorry?
Don't apologise. You'll need a sense of humour with this one. He's very sharp.
How sharp?
I'm sure you'll find him useful. But remember, don't show how you feel. We're very glad to have you here. Quite a coup.
Thank you, Dr. Briley.
But don't get above your station. It's the only coup you'll be involved in.
Hello, Andrew. I'm Dr. Johnson.
How literary.
Don't start. I've had that since I was little.
Tribe been called Davis. Betty.
Right. I hate nicknames. Thanks for doing this.
Did you have one when you were a kid? A nickname?
Andrew, I can't offer personal information.
You're not offering. I'm demanding.
Yes, I was told.
What?
Okay, well, when I was a kid, I was always good at English, so they called me Dictionary.
Christ, you went to a rough school.
And you can imagine what Dictionary was shortened to.
No.
But if you don't call me that, I won't call you...
Fair enough.
Call me Mike. So, how are you settling in?
Better than the last place. But I want to speak to a manager.
You can speak to me. What's the matter?
When I got here, they didn't leave chocolates on the pillow or turn down the beds. Perhaps you could have a word?
I was told you have a keen sense of humour.
Got to, haven't you? Otherwise you'd go mad.
It's a good coping strategy.
You brought anything?
Like what?
Something to sweeten me up. Tobacco. Papers. Because if you want me to open up to you week after week, might be an idea.
You don't have to.
Oh, come on. I only get homemade jam. I've got a stash the size of a small emerging continent.
Okay.
They took your Auntie Linda up the infirmary.
I don't care.
Maybe I can arrange something.
She was in shock. I had to fetch her slippers for her.
What do you want?
Silly bitch.
Silly bitch. Andrew?
Couple of hundred B&H.
But I don't think you'll be allowed that many.
Oh, they won't care. It's not a normal prison. It's different when the keys have been chucked away.
What does that feel like?
Give us 200 fags and I'll tell you. And some tobacco. Golden Prairie. Blue packet, not red.
Fine. So, what does it feel like?
And some papers. Licorice.
Anything else?
Probably. I'll sleep on it.
Sleeping well?
You will bring them, won't you?
I'll see what I can...
Because you've got to keep me sweet. I'm not doing it for nothing. Know what I mean?
Of course. So how
So, yeah, I'm all right. Couldn't sleep when I first got here. I kept waking up with the noise. There was a nutter down the corridor, kept banging about like a right... well, nutter. Kept shouting about turbines at 3 a.m. But he hanged himself, so it's all right now. Was that an official question? About sleeping?
Yes, if you like.
Did you think I weren't sleeping because of guilt? It's a bit clichéd, isn't it?
How long have you been here now?
8 days.
And how are you adjusting?
Who cares? I'm here till I leave in a box, unless they move me again.
Is that difficult to think about?
No. What am I giving up? Crap job? Bedsit? Food's all right. Better than I can do.
So who are you getting to know?
Excuse me?
Anyone you get along well with.
I've only been here 2 minutes. Most of them are barking. There's one guy called Phil or Frank or something. He keeps asking me to play cards with him, but I keep winning. Because he's mental.
Anyone else?
Well, there's one bloke. Head like a bulldog. He's pretty normal. Martin, GP. Cut up his wife and ate part of her tits. I don't win with him all the time, so he's all right.
You like intelligent people.
Well, I'm not exactly Einstein, but I just get on better with people who don't bring themselves off over your pie and chips. I'm a bit more in control. Know what I mean?
Hey, the police. Emergency services have just arrived.
What's your name, darling?
The whole street.
What's your name?
Smoke. And we all just like, what?
Mum, you have to keep talking.
And I've seen personally about a dozen, I guess, people lying, some of them very badly injured.
Chapter 2. Establishing trust.
Hello, Martin.
Oh, Doctor.
How's Andrew doing?
Fine. Why?
Oh, just asking. Is he settling in?
Oh, you're the doctor.
Well, from one to another. Just wondered.
Well, no problems, as far as I know. While you've got me here, I meant to ask, can you see what you can do about the new activity times? I prefer that sort of thing on a Monday, you know, after the weekend. We like routine here, Doctor. And they've changed the television times. I miss things.
Well, I'll see what I can do. Let me know what programmes you want to watch.
I love that sitcom with Judi Dench.
OK, as it's you. Where is Andrew, by the way?
He has a job now, in the library.
Oh, this is where you're hiding.
Gets me out of football.
Oh, I thought you'd like that.
Not into groups. More of a solo artist, me. There's only so much I can stand listening to someone bang on about their wives and kids. My little Tommy said the word tractor the other day. Oh, did he really? I said the word infanticide. Do you give a shit?
Thanks for talking with me last week. Don't you want to continue?
Who else did you ask?
Sorry, I can't say. But I think you're the most interesting.
Why?
Most of the others have only killed once.
So my collection of stiffs are finally worth something.
It's more a case of what you actually did and why.
You see, I asked you to bring me some fags and stuff, but they weren't exactly forthcoming.
Look, talk to me. I promise I'll sort you out.
People have promised me all my life.
200, yes?
Promise?
Yes. I promise.
Chapter 3. Cultural influences.
Andrew, do you think that killing people was controlled?
Well, I didn't just happen to have bombs in my hand.
Most people express anger in less extreme ways.
So? Diminished responsibility, my lawyer said. If anyone died, it was only a byproduct.
A byproduct? Funny, the impressions you form about people. From what I'd read, I imagined you weren't very articulate.
Thanks. From what I'd read, I imagined you'd gone to the rank school of charm.
Your cultural references are surprising.
Well, it's my mum. She's ancient. Dad's her toy boy. She loves old films. I know all that stuff. Robert Mitchum, Grace Kelly. I watched loads of films growing up. Cheaper than a babysitter, innit? Anyway, I'm more intelligent than the retards in here. Bunch of freaks. The stiffs I'm in here for were just byproducts. All right?
So, what did you intend to do? Damage buildings?
Listen, getting off my arse and doing it made a statement. Most people only think about it.
About what?
Killing scum.
You killed a pregnant woman.
I'll tell you what, next time I'll ask them first if anyone's up the duff.
Do you want there to be a next time?
Maybe.
How?
Bigger. A shop or whatever. A big van.
You drive a van into a shop?
No. Leave it outside. I'm not a suicide bomber. They're seriously screwed. Not exactly given the bigger picture, are they?
And you? Do you think about people you hurt? What do you think of the baby who was injured?
Not a lot. It was black.
He had a 4-inch nail in his head.
Ah. Fab picture on the front of the Standard, though. X-ray of its head with a nail through it.
You don't feel any remorse?
Well, does it look like it? Listen, if you want to ask questions about how someone feels, go and skip off with your touchy-feely mates.
What about yours? Any mates come to see you? I hear your mother visits.
Oh, here we go. It's all her fault.
You don't have to tell me what you think I should hear. I'm not a social worker.
Oh, that's a shame. I thought I might get a bigger council house out of it.
Do you want to talk about your mum, Andrew?
Sure you're not a social worker, dictionary?
We agreed you wouldn't call me that.
Tell me about her. I'm interested.
I had a terrible childhood, okay? I was abused. Even on my 17th birthday, I wanted a pony, and they only got me a Ford Escort. Well, what did you think I was going to say?
What do you want that for? Wanting to be nurturing?
She loves me.
I said to him, if you want to be nurturing, you should
come. Do you love her?
See our Linda.
She comes in.
The infirmary.
We don't talk about it, you know, what I did. We don't talk about anything much.
She's younger than me.
She goes on about whatever she's been doing. New curtains.
Poor Linda.
Lovely piece of haddock. Some auntie that's not even related.
Kicking around with vegetables.
I nod and say yes and no in the wrong places.
Do you want some jam?
Do you want to talk about your father? Isn't that your next question? No. I don't know him and he doesn't know me. There, the end. How long have you been doing this?
Why?
What's it like?
Rewarding.
Do you feel in control? Been to college? Didn't they show you how to use a dictaphone? You haven't switched it on.
Chapter 4. Family background.
Can I take my shoes off?
Sure.
Oh, I forgot what carpet feels like. Nice place, Dr. Head Shrink. You like certificates, then? I want to do a physics degree, me. You can get them through the post. I can get a job at CERN, then, smashing hadrons together.
So, what do you want to talk about?
Lots of things.
Like, how do you make a bomb?
Maybe. But I want to know about you. What makes you tick?
Talk. Bang.
Your sense of humour interests me.
Thank you very much.
OK. What makes you laugh?
I like jokes. Here's one. A priest walks by this river and he sees a little girl crying. He says, "Hello, little girl. What's wrong?" She says, "It's my mummy and daddy. We were in the car at the edge of the river and I got out to pick some flowers. When I looked back to wave at them, the car rolled down and fell off the edge into the river with mummy and daddy inside it, and now they're dead." The priest says, "Oh dear, not your lucky day, is it?"
Put it away, Andrew. I take it you're not religious, then.
What's black and red and spins round? A wog in a liquidizer. No?
Would you be uncomfortable if I was religious?
No, I'd just laugh.
What if I was black? Or gay?
I don't think it would be me who was uncomfortable, mate.
Maybe. But if I was, and I met you...
I'd kick your teeth in. Unless I didn't know. You might not let on, you know, that you were, black. No, only kidding, I'd kneecap you.
Why?
Because you're a black puff so far.
What are your family's views about ethnic minorities?
Well, you just say stuff, you know, about wogs and puffs. People do, you tell jokes.
Weren't there any Asian kids at school?
Bloody hundreds.
Hundreds?
Yeah, even had their own class. And white teachers, right? White, they had to learn Gujar Chapati or whatever it is. What's that about? I went to sign on once and they'd spent money on leaflets for them. It's not right. They come here, they should learn English.
You didn't get to know any of the Asian lads at school.
What for? I don't want to get to know any in here either.
How would you feel if someone didn't want to get to know you?
I wouldn't care.
But if you don't get respect, that irritates you.
More than friggin' irritates me.
Exactly. Everybody should have respect.
Do you like everyone you meet?
Not everyone.
So we agree then?
But if I met someone I didn't like, I'd still be civil to them.
Daddy brought you up to be civil, did he?
I was brought up to treat people with respect.
Well, that's where Daddy went wrong. Because there are people like me out there who aren't as naive as your daddy.
Andrew, sit down.
Middle-class ponce.
Tell me about Carousel.
What did you say?
He mentioned it in the trial. Ever seen it?
Mum did.
So?
That song in it. You're a Queer One, Julie Jordan.
And?
She used to sing it.
It's just a song. Rodgers and Hammerstein, isn't it?
She knew it would wind me up because I couldn't get a girlfriend.
You're a queer one, Julie Jordan. You
never quiet her in deeper than a well. And you never...
But you went out with girls, didn't you? Eventually?
Eventually.
So what was the problem?
You're a queer one, Julie Jordan. You won't ever tell a body what you think.
Do you know how it feels to walk into a pub and see your brother and his mates snogging loads of girls, turning round and singing, "You're a queer one"?
No, I don't.
I'm straight, right?
It wouldn't bother everyone.
I'm not everyone!
I'm very disappointed in your performance.
Please don't be. These things take time.
You didn't go to Stockholm.
I was ill.
I'm worried that you can't deliver.
You don't have anything to worry about.
No? You've been here 2 minutes. You persuade me to let you spend time away from your core duties by promising us kudos and glory for a paper that you're presenting at a conference, and you don't go.
You know, I was ill. I had to cancel. I couldn't travel.
Do you know how embarrassing this is?
I'm sorry.
What have you done so far?
I need to win his trust properly and dig deeper.
What have you done so far?
A basic profile. But building trust takes time.
You're telling me.
I'm encouraging him to write things down. Weekly exercises. How he feels about certain issues.
Fitting in. What do I know about that?
It'll stretch your imagination. And in summer, you can read it out at the presentations.
Yeah, right.
It'll help you think about other people.
I do. They're twats.
It's designed to put you in someone else's shoes. It helps a lot of people. Well, the intelligent ones.
Something to do.
Excellent. Want to read out this one?
Okay. Respect.
Announce it.
What?
Come on. Respect.
I'm not deaf.
It's the title. Announce it. Respect. Everyone at the back has to be able to hear it.
Back of what? Poland?
Respect is what you want other people to give you. Come on, read it out.
If I'd have been taught more respect when I was at school, my life would have been different.
Would have.
Would have. There is some rules...
Oh, come on. There are some rules that you find out for yourself without...
Without nobody telling you, but you learn from mistakes, I suppose. But I never took notice of people I should have...
Come on. Do it properly.
I've hated people all my life. I let it all out and now I'm here. They reckon I won't get out till I'm 90. What do they know? Prison's like society because it's built on a system. Some think it's unfair, but as Charles Darwin called it, natural selection. Survival of the fittest. The strongest ones win. I made that up.
It's not about who's stronger, though, is it, Andrew?
Isn't it?
Good morning.
What's up, Doc?
Mum's Sunday call.
Yeah, can't wait.
Nice jam. How is she?
Up and down. Someone keeps putting crap for her letterbox.
Well, like what?
Crap.
Oh, dogs?
No, humans.
Oh, nice. Are you okay?
Yeah. Here, you know that guy who's writing this thing?
Yeah. What, still cozying up to him, are you?
Yeah. Yeah, quite a lot. I called him a ponce the other day. Should have seen his face. You know what?
What?
I think he's a gay boy.
Chapter 5, Belief Systems.
Let's get to know each other. Mike?
Sorry?
Because I'm supposed to trust you. Open up. But you don't do it in return.
I'm a member of staff.
One rule for you.
Andrew?
Because you either trust me or you don't.
OK. I trust you.
Right, so tell me something about you. Where do you live?
Near here.
Where?
We can't say, I'm afraid.
What do you do to relax?
I listen to music.
Why did they move you from Oakwood?
They didn't move me.
Not what I heard.
What?
I heard you were fiddling about with the mentals.
I beg your pardon?
Is it true?
Think about it. If that was true, I wouldn't have been able to get a job elsewhere, would I? So no, it's not true. Stop playing games. Come on, back to the exercise.
Tried seeing what it feels like to be in other people's shoes.
To examine your actions, reactions.
Most people wouldn't have my reactions. All the bollocks. Not till me.
Go on.
What I did encouraged other people. Do the same. A domino effect. Me first, then others go. One by one.
Why did you plant the bombs?
I knew it'd hack people off.
You just wanted to hack someone off?
Why shouldn't I?
You could have smashed a window.
I'm not 10. Look, these exercises are great, but you won't change me by getting me to write bollocks about respect or fitting in.
We can ask you to challenge your beliefs.
I don't want my beliefs challenged. It's not like I'm getting out, is it? I just don't like people. No great science to it. Some people just don't.
Don't you want to learn?
You mean change. Why can't you leave people alone?
Why didn't you?
Because they disgust me.
And that's respect.
It's what I know. And if the pigs didn't get me, it would have been Tottenham, Southall, wipe them all out.
What have these people done to you, these communities?
Communities? You don't hear anyone talking about a white community. What's it mean, anyway? The Asian community. What? They all go round Mrs. Gupta's house on a Friday night and cook onion bhajis. There's no such thing as a community, nowhere. You know what made me laugh? It was in the papers. Some packy woman's lying on a mortuary slab in Cricklewood, right? And someone, for a laugh, puts a bit of bacon on her corpse. Now, because she's touched a forbidden food, all her stupid family are in despair because they think she's burning in hell because they believe everything they're taught and never question it. Good old communities.
Religion is a great comfort to millions of people.
Do you ever speak normally, Dr. Cliché? Think for yourself. You're as bad as they are.
I'm trying to be objective. That's the point of our exercises.
Our exercises. You love them, don't you? The caring professions. Put your head on one side of your shoulder and look really, really concerned. And repeat after me. So how do you feel? And how much do you get paid?
I'm sensing frustration.
There! You can't help yourself, can you? Stop repeating all that shit. Do you really think it works?
I think we know what we're talking about, Andrew. The caring professions have been around a long time.
So is religion and cancer. You know what? When I blew up that market, some starry-eyed geezer with a long beard on telly was saying that whoever did it, me, as it happens, when I die, I'll be in hell forever, having boiling water poured over my head. Well, when I'm there, mate, I'll give your best wishes to Granny Piggin Gupta. Fire and water in the same place, apparently. Oh, well, at least I'll have bacon. So shove your bargees up your arse, mate. Never questioning
Andrew,
anything.
Andrew, try to control your temper.
Why should some god botherer tell me what to think? Prats in hats, the lot of them. I should wear a
Andrew.
Hat. They're all nut-nuts, doing mentally ill things to avoid some made-up hell. It's not even in scripture. Well, it is now. They've put it in. Have you seen them? 80-year-old arthritic women crawling on their hands and knees from Naples to Rome to kiss some Nazi offspring's million-pound ring, and you don't think that's mentally ill? I'd do churches next time. At least I've stood up for us and done something.
You killed people.
What's the difference between me and the church? We both want to see gay boys burn. I use bombs. They use books. Same thing. And no one locks up bishops.
They're not harming people.
Oh, aren't they? At least I got people to think. They were like sheep before I came along. Amen.
I'm sensing a lot of anger.
I'm sensing fear. At least the church is right about you. People like you should be put to death.
What?
You're a social degenerate.
Someone might say the same thing about you.
But you're gay.
So?
I knew it! You'll burn in hell! How did you get in
Sit
here?
Sit down, Andrew.
What are they playing at? I want to see Dr. Brierly.
You're making assumptions.
You just admitted it.
Andrew, sit down. Do you want a cigarette?
If you're queer, I'm going to snap your spine.
If you attempt to be violent, you're in solitary.
They wouldn't have let you in if they knew you were a gay boy.
If I press this button, you're in solitary with no privileges for a month.
I can't believe this. They send me a faggot. What next? They're going to send Rose West a fucking orphan. Is this a wind-up or what? Do they know you're queer?
I think you're making assumptions.
You're scum.
Right. Get off me.
I kill your kind.
David.
Right. Six grams of zip to tramp.
Get his arm.
Now!
Hold it around.
You freak!
She wants to know if you like the jam.
What are they giving you?
Something to calm my head down.
You can't even sit up properly.
So, did you?
What?
Did you like it?
Oh, Christ, yeah, yeah, it's very nice. Oh, do thank her.
You like eating well, don't you?
I'm a gourmand. Oh, come on, you haven't moved in ages. Oh,
give me a minute.
We won't finish till you get out at this rate.
I'm thinking.
Making a lot of noise. Now, come on, Space Cadet. I wouldn't do that.
Who are you? The chess police?
I'll take your bishop.
Yeah, they're all like that.
You'll lose.
You'll lose?
I wouldn't go there either. It'll be checkmate in 5 moves.
I'm resigning. You win.
Put up a fight, you big wuss. You could still win.
My head hurts. I want a hat.
What else are you going to do?
Gardening.
Oh, yeah, your little piece of heaven. How did you get that, anyway?
When David Frost let me out of solitary, I just asked him for it. I can get what I want now. I got him to admit that he's queer. And if they find out, he's had it.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah. He's got to keep me sweet, hasn't he?
Absolutely sure.
Not 100%, but there's something there.
Why, has he...
No. Just little things.
Like what?
I don't know, he's just...
Well, is this one of your things about people?
Shove a bishop up your arse.
Not my bag, I'm afraid. I'm a breast man.
So am I, but not in a bag next to the frozen peas 3 weeks after it died.
Shut up. Run along. Give him a tantalising glimpse.
What are you on about?
You know where his office is, don't you? Third floor, next to the admin offices, overlooking a certain little garden next to the bins.
Andrew?
I want a cigarette.
Here. Andrew, what's the matter? What's wrong?
Everyone knows a secret freak. Everyone.
Who's upset you?
What's interesting about freaks is that sometimes it's the ones that you least expect that are the freakiest.
What's happened?
Take a tip, mate. Show a little respect. Or you'll hack me off. Know what I'm saying?
Chapter 6. Isolating the prisoner.
You look rested. That's nice.
Must be the new stuff.
Andrew, do you like it here?
Yeah. Not bad. You get to do different stuff.
Oh, good. That's good. That's what Dr. Johnson said.
Got my job in the library.
It's nearly 3 o'clock.
Oh, yeah, but we'll bugger off then.
Andrew.
Well, thanks for making the effort.
I have tried. It takes ages to...
You all right?
Yeah, of course I am.
Of course.